Hoi there, chummers, and welcome to the Hard Knock Sorority Podcast. This is a 4th edition Shadowrun actual play GM'd by myself, Paul, and played by Veronica as Cecile, aka College Girl, Kat as Deandra, Val as Ollie, aka Boxer, and Beth as Grace, aka Nightingale. This is episode 12 of season 2. The team deals with the aftermath of the bombing at Hazel's Bar in very different ways. Boxer meets Nadja at the hospital. She got there faster than her. How important is Kaylee anyway? Deandra is reminded of ACAB. Grace's view of metahumanity is further tarnished by a text conversation. Cecile provides discreet overwatch and begins collecting data, but others are already on the scene deleting it. A quick warning that there is some very unexplicit darkness around the 1 hour and 5 minute mark.
So enjoy, we're gonna have one of those rare intros.
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh! An intro scene.
Yeah, and listen carefully because things will be said and revealed. All right. So our camera rises up through the smoke and flames, with the sparks of the explosion into the sky. The screams and shouts fading below us as we turn north and west towards the shining heart of Seattle, of the Seattle Metroplex, leaving behind Auburn's industrial miasma and clamor, and the newly imprinted aura of terror. As we zip towards downtown with its gleaming spires and towers, we are greeted with the comforting umbrella of security drones, helicopters, dirigibles, and vector thrust vehicles. Renton's slumbering suburbs pass under us, and to our right, Bellevue glows peacefully. Downtown is a veritable blaze of light. The sides of the buildings light up in decorative patterns and advertisements for services and entertainment options the wage slaves in Auburn would never conceive of. The streets are bustling with expensive vehicles and the ubiquitous knight-errant security drones and patrols. The light being radiated from Seattle's center seems to hold back the darkness, the ugliness, and the desperation of the outlying sectors with the blessing of wealth, power, and the unbearable lightness of being. In front of the Metropolitan Opera House, the beautiful people are spilling out of the magnificent Art Deco building and down the sprawling stairs towards the streets, where gleaming chariots of glass and chrome await them. The peepers and the paps are hemmed in and away by a wall of black and gold-clad security forces, but some trusted voices of the culture and fashion channels are allowed to approach the shining examples of the Metroplex's elite on display. A demure, dark-haired human female reporter from Seattle Arts manages to intercept a tall blonde woman in a severe blue gown that pulses with light patterns and shadows. "Mrs. Petrov," the reporter begins with a placating and breathless voice, "as one of the city's most generous donors to the arts, we hope you enjoyed Newman's interpretation of the Trials of Dunkelzahn." Diana Petrov smiles at her companion on her arm, a red-haired woman, wearing a similarly tailored and illuminated interpretation of a high-fashion pantsuit of dark gray. "Newman has a way with his arrangements. The interpretation and inclusion of the Sasquatch Choir is surely a contribution which will echo through the ages. It makes the loss of President Dunkelzahn more poignant than it ever felt." The reporter from Seattle Arts clutches her heart with emotion as she seems to struggle to hold back tears. "So well said, Miss Petrov. And such an honor to speak to you today. It was your generous vision that brought Newman to CMET, after all. Your contribution to the arts elevates us all. But what I find so inspiring is your commitment to improving the lives of Seattle's less fortunate." Diana Petrov smiles magnanimously at the fawning compliment. The red-headed woman on her arm has turned her head away from the interviewer, apparently distracted by something in AR. Her brilliant red hair is shorn close to the scalp on the side facing our camera, and we can make out a large black star tattoo and several chrome data jacks. "Where we go one, we go all," says Diana Petrov. "That's why it is so important that we do everything we can to lift up the less fortunate in society." At that moment, her companion turns and whispers into her ear, and Diana Petrov's immaculate composure slips for a fraction of a second, revealing only icy calculation. Then she is smiling again and continues, "As you know, I am sponsoring a program to revitalize downtown Auburn, which has fallen on hard times. Once a proud, blue-collar working neighborhood, it has become prey to gangs, criminals, and terrorists. Honest, traditional, working-class people are being displaced. My foundation, Seattle Renaissance, is working with Knight Errant and other concerned parties to help eliminate these undesirable anti-progress elements so that downtown Auburn becomes safe for redevelopment, including future plans for affordable housing for those displaced by the current violence. She and her companion looked grimly into the camera. There can be no place in our society for these criminals and terrorists who are making Seattle unsafe for traditional, hard-working families. The reporter seems to be distracted by something in AR and then asks, Mrs. Petrov, are you referring to the terrorist bombing that our outlets are reporting just happened in downtown Auburn? I am, she says, and I will not be cowed by the murderous filth infiltrating our society. It appears that this latest attack is the work of the Metahuman Brigade, and our defenders at Knight Errant have already begun making arrests. She makes an attempt to look compassionate as she continues. I know that not all metahumans can be painted with the same brush. Her companion smirks subtly. But downtown Auburn is in need of a good cleaning. But fear not. We will make downtown Auburn great again. Once the current population of the district has been contained, the work of sifting the good traditional working class families from the antisocial elements can begin. The reporter sighs breathlessly. You are such a brave example for us all, Mrs. Petrov. It has been an honor to spend time with you. Diana Petrov and her red-headed companion break away and step into a waiting vehicle. Inside, Diana looks at the other woman, whose red hair cascades down the left side of her face and onto the dark gray shoulder of her suit jacket. The woman is smaller than Diana, but far more athletic. The timing was perfect, Piper. The redhead smiles. Just wait until the video hits the airwaves. Our camera cuts away to a montage of TRID projections, holograms, and TRID screens on buildings across the Metroplex. On all of them, grainy footage is repeating, showing what appears to be an orc, her features obscured by a mask, but her metatype clear from the horns. She's flanked by a troll and another orc. They are wearing camo fatigues, body armor, and carrying assault rifles and pistols. Grenades hang from their harnesses. Behind them hangs a white banner, and scrawled across it in dripping red letters are the words, Metahuman Brigade. And that is the end of the cutscene. Let's make Auburn great again, guys. All right. So we left off. Ollie and Grace were walking home to Ollie's apartment. You both have a nice fat cred stick freshly acquired in your pocket, and the feeling of accomplishment that comes from having completed a job and been paid. Maybe Ollie is thinking about the words that the warning that Kirsten gave her. In any case, you do notice that as you're walking down the streets towards your apartment through the familiar neighborhood in Auburn, you notice that the streets are somewhat empty for this time of night, and there's plenty of vehicular traffic, but the usual bustle and hustle of the sidewalks and street vendors and people going to and from restaurants and bars and other places is somewhat thinner than it normally is, and probably Grace picks up on it too, even though she's not from Auburn, but with her astral perception and Ollie's knowledge of the area, you're both picking up on a tension and a little bit of fear in the neighborhood when suddenly the air seems to compress around you and a thunderclap of sound rolls through the streets. Ollie, you recognize the distinct sound of an explosion. A large explosion, probably from some kind of high explosive, not a cannon round or a missile, but some kind of bomb, maybe like an IED. You haven't heard this kind of a sound in many years, but here it is in your neighborhood in downtown Auburn. The air compresses and then is suddenly sucked away from you and then comes back with a thunderclap. People start screaming and car alarms start going off. In the background, you hear sirens starting.
Well, the first thing she does when she feels it, she just knows. She drops. She drags Grace down with her. Once she can get her head back on her shoulders and stop acting on just instinct, she stands shakily, pulls Grace up. That's Grace. You. Fuck.
I don't really. What just happened?
There was a bomb.
Oh.
She's, like, looking around, and...
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's not the kind that people...
What are Ollie's skill... What's Ollie's skill set with explosives? Does she have a particular skill set for the neighborhood?
Yeah, she's the homegrown.
And do you have an explosive skill or a demolition skill?
Yep, demolitions.
Do you want to give us a roll for homegrown plus demolitions? With your knowledge of demolitions and your close knowledge of the neighborhood, you know that that explosion came from the area of Hazel's Bar, the destination that Kaylee and Deander had said that they were going to head towards when you split up from Kaylee's clinic.
Chris?
Yeah?
We need to get my medical supplies from the apartment. That was Hazel's.
She's like nodding. She obviously looks confused.
Come on, you're coming with me. You need to run. Understand? You need to run.
And she listens.
So you guys, you run to your apartment. The streets are suddenly quite a bit clearer as people duck and dodge into buildings or get indoors wherever they can, whether it's in local establishments or their own places. So you make good time. You get to your apartment within a matter of minutes. When you get there, as you're opening the door and entering it, your comlink starts buzzing furiously, and you recognize the code of Vicente.
She answered, still grabbing, equipping herself.
Ollie, are you okay?
I'm fine, but Kaylee and one of my people was heading down there. I'm getting supplies. I'm going to try to respond.
Be very careful. There's my unit, my squad, and myself have been ordered to head down to Puyallup for some reason. I think the people in our local district Knight Errant headquarters are putting some distance between the people that they don't think are loyal, namely me and my team. Looks like they're starting to put together some kind of a riot control squad to start clearing the streets. Be careful.
All right.
And make sure that Kaylee's okay and Hazel's okay, okay? I'm sorry I can't come and help right now.
If you can, try to, I don't know, get some of them off, distract them. I don't know. Those people, I'm going to be the only medical assistant. Most of these people are going to get.
Well, hopefully Kaylee's okay.
Right.
All right, I've got to go. But let me know if you need anything.
I will.
And like I said, be careful on the streets. They're not going to be safe for long.
I'll be as quick as I can manage.
They're gearing up to do some kind of sweep, and I don't like the looks of it. You gather up your medical supplies and head out of the apartment, unless you had something else you wanted to do.
I think she wasn't already carrying, but she's going to get the bike when she gets to it. Well, Grace hasn't really gotten to see her on it while she works. She doesn't like associating it with that kind of high profile. But now, as she disengages the safety system, security, she clearly wants to get there fast, and she doesn't care if...
Is she going to be able to take Grace with her?
Grace, you're going to need to hold on to me, all right? You can do it. It'll be fine. Besides, you have telekinesis. Just hold on to me with that.
That's not quite how it works. But okay.
And she tries. She tries. I imagine it would be kind of comedic and fumbling for, like, you know, a few seconds.
Is she looking like a dog?
Well, she mentioned something about medical care, that it was required, that, yeah. She probably wouldn't have dropped the spell yet. She's going to drop it whenever they actually get on, so that she can...
All right, so you get out of there. In the distance, you start hearing the sounds of emergency response vehicles, sirens, helicopters, vector thrust vehicles. You get through the streets pretty efficiently, but make at least one vehicle control test since you're trying to get there as fast as possible.
Forgot to add on one of my mods, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you have plenty of hits. So with three hits, you get there as efficiently as possible, dodging outgoing traffic, and the closer you get, debris. And as you turn the corner, you see ahead of you on the street where the bar was, there is a debris field scattered outward from the bar, which is now mainly a smoking black crater in the building in which it used to be. And at that point, we're going to cut to Cecile, who I believe was still at Deander's apartment. What are you doing?
Work. She's preparing a plan.
All right. So are you in AR or full VR?
AR right now.
Okay. So as you're starting to put the pieces together, putting a plan in motion, you have a similar experience to Ollie and Grace. Slightly less dramatic than theirs. You hear a thunderclap sound off in the distance, and then the windows in Deander's apartment shake and rattle, and you start hearing car alarms going off. And immediately in your AR vision, various notices and warnings start popping up, warning you of a terrorist attack in the neighborhood, a bombing, stay away from this area, injuries, security vehicles incoming, cooperate with security forces, all that kind of thing. Make sure, you know, one of the warnings says, reminds everybody to be have their SINs running and discoverable on the network. And if you are SINless, report immediately to your nearest knight errant station.
Cecile sighs and doesn't do anything. She stays in her apartment. That sounds like a whole lot of nothing she wants to deal with.
Deandir.
Yes.
How many boxes of damage did you take in the explosion?
I took 7. I have 3 left on my track.
Yeah, so you were not knocked off of your feet, as I remember right, but you were injured by flying shrapnel. You were able to duck a flying street vendor cart. Unfortunately, Kaylee, the orc street doc, was not so lucky. And as you are now standing back upright and recovering from being blasted by flying glass and shards of metal and other debris, and the adrenaline is kicking in, you see the smoke rising and people flung around and starting to get up, and you see that Kaylee has been pinned to the ground by this cart. And she appears to be conscious and struggling to get the cart off of herself.
The first thing that Deandre does, like during the blast, is she's drawing her sword, and then she's going to rush over and try to pull the cart off of Kaylee, not like lift it completely off of her, but like topple it off of her.
All right, let's make a body and strength test on that one.
Body strength. No modifiers, I guess.
No modifiers. Yes, modifiers from your wounds, from your injuries.
1.
All right. And Kaylee is going to assist you with that. She still has 3 successes with her wound modifiers. Together, you have 4 successes, and you're able to lever the cart off of her. She's gasping from having the wind knocked out of her, from having the breath knocked out of her. She's injured and bleeding in a similar manner, in the same way that you are. She appears to be injured by shrapnel flying. There's a gash on her forehead, and she's looking wild-eyed about, and she looks at me and she says, we've got to help them, and she starts running towards the bar.
Deandre, like, reaches out and grabs her, like, in the, like, as tight as she can, and goes, prepare for trauma, and rushes forward ahead of her in the burning dome.
All right. The inside of Hazel's bar has been devastated by the explosion. You can tell that the explosion was not centered in the bar, but just outside of it. So fortunately, the outside walls and the doors stopped a lot of the direct blast, but the windows and doors did blow in, creating shrapnel. And there are the usual patrons of the bar are severely injured and lying about or trying to get them pull themselves up or calling for help. Thick smoke fills the place, and there is fire in various places. How are you going to, are you just going to start grabbing people and pulling them out?
Yeah, I'm basically just going to like start screaming at people. Anyone who I think can stand, I'm going to just wrench them up and point them out the door, and then pick up anyone who can't stand on their own and kind of pair up people, searching through for people who are more greatly injured and need like immediate care.
All right, you immediately are able to get several people up on their feet. Everybody's seems severely or at least moderately injured. You get several going. You find several more who are injured beyond being able to get up. And you see the bartender, Hazel, who you know too, lying behind the bar. She appears to be unconscious.
I think once I've got the people who can get up and moving, Deandre is going to start with Hazel and just like pick her up and start running towards out the door and towards wherever trauma is set up, wherever Kaylee is, I guess.
All right, you get the people moving. Other people are picking themselves up and starting to drag other people out. There's a lot of noise and confusion, a lot of shouting.
Basically, like, once people are trying to devolve into chaos, I brandish my sword and, like, point them over towards Kaylee and go and yell at them, head to trauma and stuff like that.
You run behind the bar. Hazel's lying there. She appears to have been flung backwards against the bottle rack, and everything fell down on her. She's unconscious. She looks like she's taken a blow to the head and has shrapnel wounds. You get her up over your shoulder and start dragging her out through the smoke and wreckage to where Kaylee has started setting up a trauma and triage station.
I like move, get her as close to the trauma station as I can, and then set her down in the best way possible. I'm not trying to like throw her on the ground. I'm like set her down rather than.
As you start setting her down, Kaylee comes up and helps you, and she looks at you and she says, Deander, can you get to the clinic and get me my medical bag?
Sure. It's locked up, right?
She hands you the maglock key.
And then Deandre, sword in hand, sprints off.
That's not wise.
Deander sprints off towards the clinic. And as you're sprinting off towards the clinic, you see Boxer and Grace on the motorcycle come around the corner and start heading towards the clinic.
I'm still shouting, I guess, at them. If I think they're not moving fast enough, I'm going to shout at them that they need to be running. But I imagine they're on a vehicle, so.
At this point, Ollie, you're going to have to either slow down or stop entirely because the debris field is getting quite thick and you're worried that you're going to either lose a tire or otherwise not be able to continue. You're close enough at this point where you see Kaylee is alive and she's started to tend to and set up a triage station. And then you see Deander running towards you and past you, shouting to run over and start helping.
She does. She sprints over.
Deander, you get to the clinic. The lights are off. Everything's shut down. You open the door with the maglock. The medical kit is exactly where Kaylee said that it would be. It's a big duffel bag, sort of a go bag, with all in red with a big white cross on it. As you lift it up and put it over your shoulder and start to head out the door, a Knight Errant cruiser pulls up with flashing lights in front of the clinic, and two officers get out. And the minute they see you, they draw their handguns and aim them at you. And one of them shouts, "Get down! Get down right now!"
God, Deandre is not in the mood for this.
Are we rolling initiative?
No, I think the first thing, Deandre is not going to get down. She's like sword out, bag over her, slung over her shoulder, heavily wounded. She says very swiftly to them in English, "I know you fuckers just want to get paid, but people are dying over there." And she points her sword over towards the bar where the explosion was.
I don't think we've ever actually officially named the bar, have we? It's always Hazel's. Just been Hazel's bar.
Yeah, it could just be called Hazel's.
Okay, so that's what you yell at them?
God, I had another insult in my thing. No, Deandre would say some other stuff, but I can't come up with it right now, so.
She would insult them.
Deandre probably hisses some insults at them in common and spiritual and just turns and starts running towards Hazel's.
They, as you yell at them and proceed to start running, they still are brandishing their weapons. And they are yelling, "Get down on the ground! By authority of X title, we have the authority to use deadly force to stop looting. Stop running immediately, or we will open fire."
I think Deandre like turns around, still running backwards, and goes, "I'm not fucking looting. I have a key. If you value your lives and your jobs, you will see that the people here need help before you shoot your fucking guns at me."
Guess we're rolling initiative.
Oh no. Oh no.
Deandre is.
And she ran away from them. Oh, no.
Holy. Deandre is something else.
Almost dead.
She's injured. This could go poorly.
Oh no.
Was that your new roll there, Deandre? The 10?
Yeah, 10.
Oh, she's not going to have enough to beat them.
She's severely wounded and.
Deandre isn't going to try to beat them. She is running. She is trying to get the medical bag to where it's needed. After that, she can die.
Oh my god. That's a... Wow.
Whoa. All right. You have the initiative. For whatever reason.
Deandre is going to continue sprinting. Let me pull up the exact running rules, because I would like to roll running to get extra movement. I can move with my free, I can use a simple action by making a running and strength test, add 2 meters to running rate. for each of my hits, I think. And my running rate is 25 meters per turn. So that's, depending on my roll, I'll make it a third of that because I have 3 initiative passes.
She's going to spend all of her initiative pass running.
Well, so 27 divided by 3.
Is each score on the running test equivalent?
Yeah, each hit adds 2 meters to the running rate. So I run 9 meters, dodging and weaving, and I'm considered running for any attack modifiers.
And you are at medium range for them, so that's another negative one.
Is it possible to use like something like full defense while moving?
I think you can use dodge.
And the GM is still unprepared because he doesn't have his glasses, so...
We've been waiting 20 years for the GM to come back with his glasses. We think he got caught up with his wife.
So, Deander, you're going to get +2 on your defense tests because you're running, and they are getting -3 for the range and the... What was the other thing? What was the other reason they were getting -2?
Firing at a moving target?
Is it about visibility?
Visibility, sounds right. Yeah. It was visibility. Of course that's what it was. Partial light, normal.
-2.
-2. And -1 because of the range. So the first one, so they're both going to open fire on you.
I am going to full defense, which means burning one of my action.
Yes. Did you have more than one, though?
I have 3.
Okay, so the first one fires at you with his pistol and got 1 hit.
Okay. I'm defaulting on dodge, so 2 hits.
And then the second one fires at you and got 0 hits.
Is defending dodge plus, or the regular dodge kill plus reaction twice because you add reaction to your dodge skill, or is it just...
If you're full defense, your dodge plus reaction plus any modifiers, so you have the +2 on that.
And in rolling dodge, you add your reaction, so it's your dodge modifier plus your reaction? Okay.
Now, I think you take a -2 for this being the second attack against you. Defending against multiple attacks, -1 defense modifier per attack. So the second attack, you have the -1 defense modifier for defending against multiple.
So my defense is I roll dodge, I add my reaction, and +2 and -1 for the first one, right?
Yep.
So that's +6 to dodge, which is 3.
All right, you evade both attacks. They were not anticipating you to go sprinting, and obviously adrenaline is high in their systems as well. So... your next pass has come up.
Deandre is running full tilt, like, all the way out of there. Should I roll running again?
Yeah, roll running again.
Okay. 2, so it adds 4, so that's 10 meters.
So you've gone a total of 19 meters, and then in your third pass,
they don't get a second full defense, so I don't get a third pass.
So you're 13 meters away at this point. And I guess we roll initiative again.
Done.
All right, Deander, you're going again. You're still acting ahead of them.
I'm gonna keep running.
All right, make your running test.
That's 1, so 9. I am 28 meters away from them now.
All right, and they both fire off a second round.
That would put me in long range with them if they're using pistols.
They are. So they are actually. Heavy pistol, yep, -3. So they are at -2 more rounds go wide of you. And then you start hearing them yelling, "She's getting away! Call it in! Get in the car!"
I think Deandre is still running.
Yeah, so you start running flat out. You're not looking over your shoulder anymore. Behind you, you hear the doors of the cruiser shut as you start approaching the bar and the area of devastation. You hear the siren fire up. Boxer and Grace, behind you and towards the direction of Paley's clinic, you hear gunshots and sirens. Both of you are helping Kaylee, right?
Yeah. Nightingale, I imagine, would take to moving people in a much quicker and safer way via levitation, gathering up crumpled bodies, you know?
Yep. You're busy. You're basically standing at the entrance to the bar, just sort of using your vision, your enhanced vision and your dual-natured vision to see who needs your attention most, and you're levitating them up out of the bar and into the street where Kaylee's got her triage center set up.
Yeah, she's acting as a magical stretcher. She's also completely dropped the physical mask. She's herself, a pony, just in the open.
In the midst of all this chaos, nobody's really paying any attention or noticing you. There's a lot more going on that they care about right now. And Ollie's helping Kaylee using the skills that she learned as a mercenary, triaging and patching those up who are most easily patched up. When you hear the gunshots, and half a minute later, Deandre comes running onto the scene carrying a large red duffel bag and over her shoulder and her sword in her sword hand.
I think Deandre is like screaming and yelling at this point.
What are you screaming and yelling?
I think she's screaming and yelling in Sprethiel, actually. Like, basically unintelligible slurs about people being stupid. And she, like, she doesn't toss the bag at Kaylee, but she definitely, like, sets it down really hard near her. And then Deandre starts, she sheathes her sword and starts taking off her sword belt.
As you drop the bag next to Kaylee, she grabs the bag. In spite of her injuries, she's focused. She's basically pushed past or is ignoring her injuries right now. And she's helping people, and she's giving Ollie quick and precise instructions and getting medical supplies out of the bag. And at that point, the first knight-errant cruiser screeches to a halt in the debris field, and two knight-errant officers leap out with their guns drawn, running towards Deandre. And Deandre, I guess we better roll initiative one more time.
That's a 12.
You have injured these guys' pride by running away from them. They will not stand for it. They leap out, and they're brandishing their weapons, and Deandre, you're certain that they're about to fire off another fusillade in spite of the crowded...
I basically drop my sword next to Kaylee with her mag key card and, like, start walking over them with my hands in front of them, wrists forward. And I'm basically yelling at them about how they're incompetent and tell the difference between someone going in somewhere in a hurry and someone who's looting. And they can't even hit a moving target worth their own lives because, and their ability to follow direction. And they clearly don't even know what's going on, and a bunch of other stuff. She's just screaming at them.
All right. The leader of the two, the driver, who appears to be higher ranking, you see him make a logic test and get two hits on his logic test. And he raises the pistol so that it's aimed up into the air and snaps at the other man, "Don't shoot." And then he yells at you, "Come forward with your hands up."
"I'm unarmed. Can't you see that, idiot?" And she shifts her hands into the up position and starts walking forwards toward them.
"Place your hands on the hood of the car while we check your sin."
Deandre puts her hands on the hood of the car and is, "Don't you have to get within a meter of my sin? At least with your hand scanners? What's stopping me from turning around and whipping the gun out of your hands? Oh, my hands are on the car."
She's going to get shot.
That's what they do. Basically, the second one covers you, and the first one pulls out his hand scanner and scans you. What sin are you running?
"I'm running my sin. I don't have another sin."
He looks at it for a minute, then he looks at the other man and he says, "All right, you gave us a bit of a scare there. You were on high alert." And he uses your rank?
I'm a demoiselle, which is like the equivalent of a detective in Kharastir.
Okay, so he basically says detective. He says, you gave us quite a scare there, detective. We're on high alert. We've been ordered to shoot looters on sight."
"And don't you see that when you shoot looters, they don't have a chance to put anything back? So you're just killing them for no reason."
He looks at the other guy and says, "All right, that'll be enough of the attitude. You want to go help? We're going to start setting up a perimeter." And he holsters his gun.
"That sounds good." And then Deandre rushes off.
She's going places.
They holster their guns and start setting up, pulling some tape out of the trunk of the car and start pulling tape around to set up a perimeter. And at this point, various dock wagons and crash carts are pulling up into the scene as well. And medics start swarming out. And then more knight-errant show up and more knight-errant. And pretty soon the whole place is swarming with knight-errant. The sky above you is just sort of throbbing with the sound of helicopters. You see news helicopters. You see security helicopters. You see security drones. Spotlights are flashing all around the area. Grace, what are you doing about this? There's suddenly a lot of security and media attention focused right here.
I think once Grace realizes what's happening, she's like, has she already like moved all most of the people that were like in desperate critical condition out of the building?
Yes. There are a lot of people out here now. People came out of the buildings. This is a fairly close-knit community neighborhood, and all sorts of people have started coming out of the buildings to help. So you're not alone in this anymore. There's just people in there just digging through the rubble with their hands. You know, there's a massive community effort, and it's now being sort of overrun by the security, the official security forces and the official medical forces.
She's going to cast invisibility. And just try to slip away.
All right.
Hold on. Let me look at the fort. Let's say she casts it at a force of 11. She really doesn't want to be here right now.
You got 3 hits.
5 physical damage. Woo!
Yikes. Okay. Yeah, you feel the energy just sort of rain out of your body, and the fatigue and ache and pain set in, and then you realize you're invisible, and now you've got to make some kind of a skill test to try to slink out of here. Do you have any kind of sneaking type skills?
So would that be shadowing or infiltration?
I guess we could go with infiltration, and I'll give you 4 extra dice because of the chaos going on around here and your invisibility. The flip side of infiltration is exfiltration, which is what you're doing.
I rolled 3.
Yeah, you are able to sneak out. And are you headed back for Boxer's apartment?
I imagine she wouldn't want to just go, but she also doesn't want to be in the prey of that. She might.
All right, so you slink out to the perimeter and find a place where you can be out of the way.
Yeah.
Yep. You find a doorway that is currently unoccupied where you're able to stand and watch as the security forces set up perimeter and the various dock wagon and crash cart crews are coming in and triaging. And Ollie, at that moment, you make a reaction test. Give yourself +2 dice because everybody's on edge anyways. You're helping Kaylee. She's triaging, and the duck wagon teams and the crash car teams are there, and they're yelling at her, and she's yelling at them who to go to first, and they're starting to pick some people up that have contracts, and then you just see Kaylee just sort of faint, dead on her feet, and you just grab her as she falls and gently lay her down and start hollering for somebody to come help.
She can figure it out, hopefully. Would I be using medicine or first aid?
First aid. She's pretty badly injured in the blast, and the exertions of helping triage the wounded and injured has sort of drained the rest of what was left of her physical track, and she has fallen unconscious.
Do I get any bonuses? Oh, right. I get home ground. Okay.
She drops. You catch her. You immediately begin applying your first aid skills to staunch the bleeding, and you're pulling out some rather nasty pieces of shrapnel and sealing the wound with her spray on wound sealers and stuff. And then dock wagon comes over and basically sort of pushes you aside and says, "We got it from here," and starts helping her out. And at that moment, you begin to realize, and Grace watching, you begin to realize that the security forces that have cordoned off the area are starting to go through the crowd of people that are out helping and the wounded, and are starting to pull aside and check the sins of all metahumans, and are starting to lead people away who are not passing a sin test. Let's cut real quick over to Cecile. Your AR feed is filled with an alarming amount of information about the bombing. You're seeing helicopter eye view of the scene, bright spotlights playing across the crowd as they're trying to help each other. And you see this knight errant crews coming in and dock wagon, crash cart, and down in amongst the crowd, you see the people that you've been talking to the last couple of days. You see Kaylee standing there helping out. You see Ollie with Kaylee. At some point, you even catch sight of Grace briefly, and then she seems to disappear, and Deandre is in there as well.
Deandre is looking at her camera self with a completely different IE.
Cecile's going to message Boxer immediately and ask, Is Kaylee unharmed?
She doesn't answer. She's preoccupied.
Yeah, I can imagine.
As you're watching, you see the moment when Kaylee drops and Boxer catches her and lays her down and starts administering first aid. She's obviously fairly severely injured. And then a dock wagon crew comes in and carries Kaylee off.
Okay, that's good.
And then you see, nobody else has seen this, but for a brief moment, the news feed that you're watching is sort of sweeping the perimeter of the scene, and you see a motorcycle parked in the shadows, and sitting on the motorcycle with the engine running, helmet off, is a woman that you recognize as Nadja from the Samovar. And at that instant, as the camera sweeps across her, she puts her helmet on and guns the motorcycle out of there.
Take a recording of that. And how quickly can Cecile get down there?
It'll only take you a few minutes.
To run?
Yeah, it's not far away. At the most, like at a leisurely walk, it would take you 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to do that because I think Cecile really can't contribute.
She probably knows she can't get through the perimeter at this point.
Yeah, and she also doesn't really want to be sin checked or whatever. However, what she is going to do, did she see any kind of like serial number or like person in that dock wagon vehicle?
Which one? The one that took Kaylee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely are able to rewind the AR, the TRID feed, and pick up the registration number.
Yeah, I'm going to do some research on that, do a background check to make sure they're just first responders and not taking Kaylee to her death.
That's a very good idea.
What should I roll for that?
That's probably, I mean, you can do superficially, you can probably just go to the dock wagon matrix presence and verify that that is one of their vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's not worried about it not being one of their vehicles. She's worried about it being one of their vehicles and the people have been paid off.
That's going to be harder to find out.
Especially on a time crunch, yep.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would do that.
Hack into their comlinks?
You could hack into their comlinks. You have, you saw the registration number. So if you could get, you could probably hack into Grid Guide.
You could hack
into Grid Guide and sort of track their progress and where they're going.
What about the car itself? It has to be like computerized and on, like have some kind of Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah,
does it have like a camera inside or something?
Yep. I'm sure it does. Multiple cameras.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to be hacking it the hard way.
So how do you find that on the Matrix?
Let me go get the rule book.
Get the rule book. So Boxer, Kaylee's been taken away at that point by a dock wagon team. Deandre, what are you doing? Boxer, what are you doing?
Deandre has actually probably begun calling Cecile.
Cecile answers, yes, what is it?
Deandre says, I need the security footage from around the bar?
Hazel's Bar.
I need it this week. Please don't delay. I want it before it's altered. I'll take you out to dinner or something. I don't care. And then
sure,
she
I'm a little busy.
You don't even get a chance to respond before Deandre is.
Ugh.
And then Deandre's going to go around taking pictures and trying to determine the center of the blast and stuff like that.
At various times, you're sin checked until the knight errant team start realizing that. You know, you are who you are. and they stop paying attention to you. You notice that they are focused pretty heavily on other meta types, especially orcs and trolls and dwarves. And if there is even the slightest thought that a sin is not correct, they seem to be pulling those people aside. And a large black roadmaster has, or city master has pulled up, and they are loading them into the back. What are you doing, Boxer?
How many people are still left needing treatment?
At this point, most of them have been cared for unless they are sinless, in which case they have simply been picked up and taken to the city master.
Well, fortunate for your Ollie, she has a sin, and double fortunately for her, it's actually legal, so...
Yeah, you're checked a couple times, and at least one of the teams that checks you, you can see that they really want to just arrest you, but sort of finally just give up in disgust when your sin is immaculate.
She gives them a good grin, and then she messages Grace, it's time to go.
And she just sends a tree emoji back, and she's already walking home.
Grace, you've seen quite a bit of the ugliest side of meta-humanity in the last couple of days from the Warehouse Alliance place with the really macabre dead Nagas and ghouls in containers to combat where you killed somebody, and now this massive explosion that seems to have injured and killed probably dozens of people. How are you feeling?
Somewhat alarmed seeing people being rounded up in a vehicle that's very obviously not medical with the context that she has. But she can't really do anything. She's worried and scared and probably still a little bit miffed just with the entire thing. What would she even know about sinlessness stuff? Would she, like, how ready is the reality of that?
Probably hasn't ever really been a thing for her. You know, out in the pines, nobody cares. And most of the interactions you've probably had with metahumanity has been sort of a far more superficial interaction, you know, more, the way a tourist or a voyeur or a reporter might interact with people. Now you feel like you've sort of cracked the code or cracked the shell and are seeing something beyond, you know, just sort of the superficial knowledge you've had. And this sinlessness and this idea of categorizing people into two brackets of having a right to exist and not having a right to exist is probably feels extremely wrong to you.
Yeah.
Based on the society that you come from.
Yeah, in Equestria, people don't... You can't just lose your right to exist. That doesn't... You come into the world and you have a right to exist, a right to community. You have a right to shelter and food and everything else you need. This is disgusting and disturbing. And from what she knows about metahumanity, and considering that there was this huge humanist threat, she wouldn't be surprised if the cops are in on it, because she knows that they're not pure intention. They have their own interests. In fact, are those cops, are all of them humans?
They are all humans. And, you know, as you're dual-natured and perceiving in the astral, you see their emotional intent. You see their anger and hatred towards the metahumans that they are detaining. You see when Boxer has her sins scanned, and you see the security team, you know, they really want to arrest her, and they are frustrated that they can't immediately arrest her. But you get the idea that you get the sense from seeing their aura that they've noted Ollie's existence, and if she gives them any excuse, or maybe they'll find an excuse, they will arrest her. Their concern is not for the injured or for finding out what happened.
It's not even about the letter of the law. They're just trying to round up freaks.
They are just there to round up people. As you're leaving, so you're started walking back towards Boxer's apartment, right? Gathering on the outskirts, sort of outside of the perimeter of this In the alleyways, you see teams of security forces dressed in heavy riot gear starting to sort of group up and block the alleyways. And at this point, neither Diandir nor Ali nor Boxer has noticed this. Diandir is, you know, busy taking evidence, and Ali's been busy with Kaylee and now is slowly starting to try to get out of the zone. You already cleared it, but now you're
she's
seeing
going to send
the
text to Boxer. Pretty sure cops are humanists. ? Worried. Cart full of metahumans. Racist. ! What do I do? There's a lot of them. Guns, armor.
Exit area. Too many to do anything.
Are you telling Boxer about the riot police starting to?
Yeah, she would tell her. She might even snap a quick picture of them to send over.
Is anybody gonna give Diandir a warning?
I could see her posting that on the group chat in her fan. Let me make a logic test. Yeah, she would have sent it to the group chat between.
Veronica, have you figured anything out on your?
Is it hidden?
It would not be hidden.
I'm not confident, but I think if it's not hidden, you can just connect, even if it's through a lot of intermediate steps.
Sort of just hand-waved as you know where it is, you know what it
is. I mean, it's not hiding itself.
Yeah, but the Matrix is a vast thing to be in, filled with all sorts of icons and...
Sure, but I do have a serial number, and, like, presumably there's a tracker somewhere. I know its physical location, like... If nothing else, I can just hack into things in the area, like a whatever Wi-Fi router is servicing it, and then connect through that.
All right. Well, then we're going to hack it. But first, we're going to see what Diandir and Boxer do with the message that they get from Grace stating that there seems to be a very heavy riot police presence outside of the perimeter that seems to be closing in on the site.
I think Diandir isn't looking at her phone. Like, she has a camera that she's been using to take pictures. And once she has enough evidence on the scene of the crime, basically, once she thinks she has enough, she's going to turn around and start taking pictures of the cops.
Okay, Boxer, don't forget that you came on your bike, which is now starting to become part of the perimeter, unless you go rescue it.
She orders it to drive off. She has autopilot on it.
Nothing happens.
Oh, fuck.
Probably the cops have shut down Grid Guide in this location.
Oof. All right. She's going to it, then.
You walk towards it. Diandir, as you start taking pictures of the cops, you see that they take note, and several of them start moving towards you.
I think she, checks over her pictures and starts loading up her camera after she thinks she has enough, which is a few, And she doesn't, point the camera at the cops that are walking towards her when she's tries to take more pictures. She's like, oh, I gotta get this area over here. And she's, looking around from the center of what she's standing in, what she believes is the center of the blast radiation. She takes pictures of other stuff around and then checks through them and starts loading up her camera into its bag.
Cecile, are you going to hack the dock wagon?
Yeah, okay.
What are you rolling against?
I would be rolling against its...
Rating? Just a rating?
Targets... The threshold is the target's firewall. +3, because I'll go for a security account.
So start hacking.
1. Not great.
You haven't quite gained entrance yet. You get your admin account on it. You break through its firewall and open an admin account.
Security account.
You have access to the vehicle systems. You see the camera in the medical bay. You see two medical assistants that are working on Kaylee. Kaylee is still unconscious, and there are two dock wagon employees sitting in the cab driving towards the local hospital.
Okay. I'll just monitor them, the audio, too, to make sure they aren't saying anything or doing anything suspicious.
The audio reveals only that they are concerned about their patient and trying to figure out which hospital to get to, and also questioning how they're going to bill the city of Auburn, the township of Auburn, for their services, the emergency services that they're providing that night, since so many of the people that they've picked up aren't actually Dock Wagon contract holders.
Cool. I'll just keep monitoring that.
All right. The Dock Wagon gets to the hospital. There's already a crush of other emergency vehicles there, and you see Kaylee being loaded off by personnel from the hospital itself onto the gurney. And the minute the gurney leaves the side of the Dock Wagon ambulance, it takes off. And according to the people in the cab, they are headed right back to the triage center, to the triage area.
Cool. I'll just drop that then.
The AR notifications of that you're getting about the emergency in downtown Auburn are getting more strict in their police messaging about complying with police orders, and you see that a curfew has been imposed on downtown Auburn starting basically immediately.
Ooh, that's a problem, because I wanted to go to the hospital where they were keeping Kaylee. Is that a long walk?
It's probably not in walking distance.
I'm not going to hack a hospital.
And you see that Grid Guide and the various public transportation services in downtown Auburn have been shut down as well.
Hmm. Well, rats. Because I really don't trust them to not try anything on Kaylee. But at the same time, I'm probably not going to hack a hospital to make sure they don't. Because what will I do?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like the only thing that would help in that case is physical presence.
Yeah.
Boxer, you get to your motorcycle with some difficulty pushing through the perimeter of police. The main road that you came down is clear at this time. You could get out of there with the motorcycle, but you would have to manually drive it, which you always do anyways.
She checks in on Grace to ask where she is.
Where is Grace? Did Grace already get past the perimeter?
Yes, Grace is out past the perimeter and was headed to Box's apartment, then turned around to look and sent some messages about what she was seeing and what she was concerned about.
She would text back, "I'm going to the house, period. I think we should do something."
Cecile's going to message the group chat, "Get to whatever hospital they sent Kaylee to and watch Kaylee." She clarifies that she can't leave because of the curfew.
After DeAndre confronts the cops that are walking up to her, she will look at the chat log, I guess.
Yeah, the cops come up to DeAndre, and one of them's a lieutenant, and he scans your SIN and looks at it, and then he says, "Detective, so you're not on active status anymore. May I ask what you're doing?"
"Taking a personal interest in my community."
"I see. Well, we're going to have to ask you to leave."
"That's what I was just about to do."
He says with sort of a, you can't quite interpret his look right away, but he says, "I'm going to advise you to not take too deep of a personal interest. Professional courtesy," he says, and then he walks away.
"Do you mind if I ask one more question? It's about a personal friend of mine."
He looks at you and he says, "If you insist."
"Where's Lieutenant Niles Darrow? He's local. I wanted to make sure he was okay."
"Lieutenant Niles is on an active operation in Puyallupa at this time."
"Hmm. Well, I guess I'll have to speak with him another time." And DeAndre pulls her comlink out and starts walking off.
You're allowed through the perimeter. You're headed for your apartment, right?
The second she sees the go to this hospital, DeAndre turns and goes to the hospital.
How are you going to get there?
Walk.
A long walk.
You know what? DeAndre will probably just start running.
You see Boxer getting on her motorcycle. You could potentially link up with Boxer.
I run over towards Boxer, I guess. "You got an extra helmet?"
She just gives her a look.
"I'm severely injured. I need to go to the hospital." DeAndre, like, motions to herself that is covered in blood.
"I can take care of you, but not here."
"Hospital." And DeAndre...
Did Boxer see the message from Cecile? I imagine she did, right?
Which message?
Did she see the message from Grace?
Yeah, she did. About the riot.
The message from Cecile said that Kaylee had been taken to X hospital and that you should proceed to that hospital and keep an eye on Kaylee.
Well, unlike Kaylee, I mean, unlike Cecile, Voxer is not paranoid about the medical professional. Well, if Sandra insists, fine.
Thank you.
With her guide down, she actually has to use her brain to navigate. Thankfully, she actually knows her hood, so she sets on her way to get to the hospital, nearest one.
I think you've actually been given the coordinates to go to, and so roll a vehicle control test.
3.
You have no issues. However, at some point, as you're maybe just a few minutes from the hospital, you run into a roadblock, a knight-errant roadblock, and the officers wave you down or attempt to wave you down. Are you going to stop for them?
Yeah, she is.
All right. They immediately come over and do a sin check. But when they see that Deander is injured and you tell them that you're headed for the hospital, they wave you through. You get to the hospital. There's a mad rush of dock wagon and crash cart vehicles, and everything seems on a high alert and in a high state of activity. The minute you show up with Deander, at this point, I think Deander started to sort of limp a little bit. The medical teams see you and come out and transfer you to a gurney and ask you for, well, first they scan your sin. And once they've got your sin, they take you to be worked on. And what are you doing, Boxer?
Well, while she's here, she's going to try to see if she can see Kaylee.
They give you a room number. You proceed up to the room, and when you get to the room, it's a fairly nice room, surprisingly nice. You did not expect that. You don't think that Kaylee has a dock wagon contract or any other kind of insurance, but she's in a fairly nice room. And when you enter the room, it's maybe explained by the fact that that the woman from the samovar is there, Nadja is there, sitting by the side of the bed, holding Kaylee's hand. And she looks up when you enter and she says, "Ah, so good of you to come." And Nadja says that. Kaylee appears to be unconscious still.
Is she stable?
Nadja looks at you, says she's stable. She'll be out of here by tomorrow morning.
That's better than I thought.
He looks at you, she says, "I didn't realize that you were a friend of Kaylee's."
"More like an associate. Close associate, but associate."
"Interesting. Everything seems to be connected, circles within circles."
"Indeed."
"Well, are you going to stay for a while? I'm sure Kaylee would be happy to see you when she wakes up."
"Well, yeah. Yeah, I think I will."
"Are the rest of your friends okay?"
"One of them, I had to bring them here. Everyone else was either not present or safe, yes."
"Good."
"I don't suppose you know what happened?"
"I don't know what happened. Can I ask you a personal question?"
"Sure."
"Do you have a good sin?"
"I do."
"It appears that there's some kind of effort to make downtown Auburn uncomfortable for as many people as possible, and they're starting with the sinless. So if you or any of your other friends are lacking solid sins, you should probably make an effort to get one now."
"I think we're all good on that front."
"Good."
"Indeed."
Cecile, is there anything else that you're going to do?"
"Yes, while all this is happening, Cecile is doing research on the best reporters who are idealistic, let's say, and that she thinks will not be swayed by bribery. She's looking for someone to essentially offer an exclusive scoop to about the bombings that just happened.
So you think that you're probably going to want to go to somebody from probably KSAF. They style themselves the last bastion of free and independent news in Seattle. There's Zach Flash, who you hear all the time on their channel, but he's more of a DJ, not really a reporter.
Mm-hmm. She'll shortlist it. I mean, her main witness isn't awake right now, so it's not really pressing.
Yeah. You probably can see on your list of contacts that both Boxer and Deander are at the hospital at the moment. Grace, you get back to Boxer's apartment.
I don't think Grace would be going straight to the apartment. She
really wants to do something.
She does. And I'm feeling very on edge because I don't know if this is at all a good idea. But those people are being rounded up like use a metahuman expression, cattle. I want to summon a spirit and have it completely disrupt the...
Oh boy.
Should I do that?
My answer is a big no.
No, you don't think so?
You may not survive. That's a bit dangerous.
Also, can spirits be traced back to you?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, that's... No. You want to summon a hostile spirit in the middle of an emergency with cops who are on edge and who will track you down.
It's just they're rounding up people, and I know that they're probably going to kill them. That's dozens of lives in that car right there.
God. If this is communication in character, I'm not going to say anything. Ender is probably being drunk.
It isn't. It's out of character.
But I bet they won't be, like, driving them to behind a warehouse or whatever and putting a bullet in each of their brains. They're probably just going to lock them up somewhere for a few days.
I mean, Grace had texted the group. She had said something to the effect of, I feel like we should do something.
Did anybody respond?
Yeah, Boxer said too many to do anything.
Deandre was pretty busy at the time, but I would say that if Deandre were to give advice in the situation, she would recommend trying to find a good meta-humanity rights lawyer. Maybe two, in case one gets whacked.
Nightingale's just going to go home.
You get home without further incident, but it's a sort of a quiet and lonely apartment without Boxer there or anybody else there at the moment. And then you get a text from Jake, and the text asks, "Hey, horse person, are you okay?"
"Yeah, I'm fine. I assume the police are the happening." And she says that with the T and the H capitalized. "The happening."
He texts back a laughing face and an exploding head. And he says, and then he texts, "They're going to be getting rid of all the riffraff down there. More space for the rest of us."
She shoots him a text. "Yeah, I can tell."
He says, "I've got that rifle that you're looking for. If you want to come out and look at it sometime, it's going to be good hunting."
Jesus. Oof.
Jesus Christ.
"Are you inviting me to go metahuman hunting with you? Question mark."
You get a laughing face and then a zippered mouth face back.
Oh, no.
Holy shit.
If Jake knew this person, she would beat the fuck out of
him. Ah.
Holy
interesting.
Fuck. I wasn't expecting that whenever I put him down as a hate group member.
He literally hunts them.
Ah. She's probably shaking at this point, but she just gives a thumbs up emoji.
Oh, poor baby.
And goes to take a bit of a breather. Maybe cry a little bit.
After the thumbs up emoji, you get a text back that says, "I've got some APDS I could set aside at probably a clip's worth for you."
That's
our piercing discarding sabot.
That's some very heavy ammo, isn't it?
That's the kind of shit that I couldn't buy at start because it was too illegal.
She just says, I'd love that. And kind of like sniffles, wipes a little bit of her tears off of the screen with her magic and holds it out a little bit more so she doesn't get it all messy further. And just says, that sounds great. And I think it's at that point she sets her phone aside and mutes it. She didn't mean to.
That's what friends are for.
Not sure what she's going to do with that.
She's got a very diverse group of friends.
They're too diverse!
I mean, you're saying that after the metahuman bombing.
Yeah, and that's another thing so that Cecile's seeing on her AR feed is this video that keeps playing on all of the channels and all over of the metahuman brigade's statement claiming the bombing and stating that it is only the opening salvo in the war for metahumanity to reclaim their birthright and take control of the city.
Great, so it's a false flag. Cecile's immediately going to start hacking into the security cams around Hazel's.
Good plan. There are a multitude of them.
Okay, is that just going to be one hacking test or multiple?
We'll just make it one.
Okay. I'm going to do hack on the fly. Admin. Four. I actually only have three hits. Four hits.
You're in. You've gotten into the local network of cameras.
With plus six? Oh, geez.
This is downtown Auburn. This is not all that great of a grid.
She's just going to go ahead and download all of the security footage directly before it can be modified.
Yeah, you get the sense that somebody's already sort of started working on that.
Oh, great.
You're downloading files that are showing that they've been altered or are being altered, or, you know, they change mid-download. The file size changes, whatever. There's somebody out there actively trying to prevent you from downloading them.
Well, then.
I think Cecile's just in AR at the moment.
Oh, yeah, she's just in AR. If they have somebody trying to, like, do something to the security cameras, she doesn't have a chance in hell against them.
Yeah, I'll say you're able to download a substantial amount of data before you're completely locked out and, yeah, before you're basically just booted out.
Can I do data search to try and prioritize what chunks that I'm actually downloading?
Yes.
Okay. Because I don't want to lose important stuff just because, awful roll.
Could be better.
You could edge that.
Has it been a day since I used my last edge?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, I am going to use an edge immediately and reroll that. So that's six dice that I am rerolling.
Oh my goodness.
Never mind. Fuck me.
You almost glitched.
You rolled a different amount of dice.
Yeah, because I'm rerolling.
Well, so you rerolled your misses. So you got a total of two hits.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there was no glitching there.
Not a stellar performance, given my dice pool.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you're in there trying to prioritize what you're downloading and trying to stay ahead of whoever is in there, just, you know, mass erasing the data and bricking cameras and causing all sorts of havoc, you know, it's, you're basically doing this on the run. What was the purpose again? You were prioritizing what you downloaded.
Yeah, trying to, like, get periods of time where something would have happened or there are, like, people there, etc., instead of just, like, static shots where nothing changes for 5 hours.
Yeah, you're sure that in spite of the fact that you were running against some fairly powerful matrix intervention, you managed to get a good chunk of data downloaded, and probably good data, and hopefully you weren't tracked.
Oh, yeah. On top of that, I'm going to go ahead and change my access code. I know I have it anonymized, but yeah.
Change your access code. You could also just restart your device to, that's always a good thing to do.
You restart the device, change it manually, which I'm going to do now. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm actually, before I do that, I am going to redirect Trace. Although I assume they aren't tracking yet. So it's not active. Actually, do I know of it if I'm being actively tracked?
You don't know.
Okay. Well, it's not like she can leave.
I mean, you've jacked out, so they probably can't track you.
Yeah.
Probably.
Let's hope. Hacking plus software or hardware plus logic would be better. I'm just going to change it permanently again. That's 1 + 5 = 6. 3. Good enough. So I've changed my access ID too.
Yeah. So you feel pretty confident that you've covered your tracks.
Pretty confident is not confident enough as far as I'm concerned.
Are you going to start doing anything with the data now?
I mean, I guess she can start looking through it for anything that would give her more information. Gives her something to do so she doesn't feel restless.
Yeah. So as we leave, Cecile is distracting herself, sifting through footage and probably pinpointing the exact moment of the blast. And Grace is alone in Boxer's apartment, wondering what she's gotten herself into. Boxer is sitting with Kaylee, and Beander is in treatment. And the world has suddenly gone quite dark.
Revenge of endeavor revealed. He's using.